Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. We are in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hey, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We started in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're still there because it's Jesus still and the Holy Spirit now giving instructions. So we're walking in those footsteps, and we're finishing up with the subject of Cornelius. And this is where the gospel has now gone out into not only Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but now to the uttermost ends of the earth through a man called Cornelius, a centurion. 44 through 48.
While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, who came with Peter, because that on the nations also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any one forbid the water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then asked they him to tarry certain days.
You know, there's an optative mood, and it's not used very much in the scripture, optative. In other words, it's an option. A command is it's actually not the imperative mood in the Hellenist Greek. But this command, this is actually a military command. It's an order that must be kept. What happens in the military if you don't fulfill an order? You could even go before the firing squad. Let's say if it meant the life of the other soldiers.
You could be killed for it.
You could be killed for
Lose
it.
Lose your life.
Yeah. So here now the nations, it says that on the nations now, not just the Jews, the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out and to magnify God.
You shall receive power.
You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come within you, and you shall witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come within you.
How about that other song? The commandments are still in effect. Jesus came to strengthen them.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, He is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might, these words shall be on your heart. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, He is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. These words shall be on your heart. These words shall be on your heart. These words shall be on your heart.
Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18.
Now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the nations also had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they of the circumcision contended with him, saying that he went to unto men uncircumcised and had eaten with them. But Peter began and expounded to them in order, saying, I was in Joppa, the city, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending, as if a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even unto me, upon which, when I had fixed my eyes, I considered and saw the four-footed and the wild beasts of the earth and creeping things and the birds of heaven. And I heard also a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth. But a voice answered a second time out of heaven, What God has cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, or three times, and all were drawn up again into the heaven. And lo, forthwith three men stood before the house in which we were, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. And these six brethren also went with me, and we went in into the man's house, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, and saying, Send to Joppa, and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, and all thy house. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, even as within us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the like gift as also to us who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then to the nations also has God granted repentance unto life.
That is huge. There is no distinction now in the New Testament. It says he is a Jew which is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart according to the Spirit. This is all changed. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. This says this in Romans. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. So now, in this time, this Testament, it's no longer the outward Jew who is a Jew. It's the inward Jew. It's not circumcision of the flesh. It's not anything you can see on the outside. It is in the heart. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart. It's not the letter of the law, it's of the Holy Spirit.
So this is Peter talking to who at this point? He's talking to the apostles and the brethren? And he's recalling all this that just happened with the centurion and all of his household. And while Steve was reading that, I went back over to the previous chapter and I read and followed along that
recounting what happened to him, the vision he saw and so on.
And it was interesting because there's some things that actually stood out from that. And it says, and while Peter, excuse me. Oh yeah. And in verse 19 of chapter 10, it says, and while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, lo, two men seek thee, but arise and get down and go with them. And you read here, in 11, it adds another guy. Well, it says one more. It says, and the Spirit, in verse...
I got it, 11.
11. And lo, forthwith, three men stood before the house in which we were sent from Caesarea unto me. So, and the Spirit told them to go with them. So, and then it goes into saying, and these six brethren also went with me. So, there is a piece in that, and it's not a contradiction, but it's just showing there's more of a picture that's going on. And when he, when it recalls in, when the centurion is talking to Peter, if I go back to 11, it was how him and his household can be saved, right? That's what I heard him saying. Oh, in 14, Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved and all of thy house. And I was trying to find where that was in 10, because it, I guess when I was looking for it, it was like showing the picture that there's more than just what they talked about. This had to do with salvation and the purpose of all of those people that were there. It had to do with the salvation of him and his whole household.
I do like the fact that Peter did not go on his own, that this event was so big that he took
six other people.
And when he went to Jerusalem, he took seven men who could give a right answer. That is a lot of witnesses right there. That's not 2x2. That's out of threefold cord. That's right. Seven men that can give the right answer.
Yeah, so in that previous chapter, he was told to that he was going to be coming. And then in chapter 11, it gives the reason why, that it was for the salvation of him and his whole household. That's the message that Peter was going to be bringing. So in verse 14, who shall speak unto thee words by there whereby thou shalt be saved, all and all thy house. So now we see a little bit more into that picture of why he had all of these people in his home when Peter first enters or goes up to the house. He wanted to bring the salvation to not only his family, but his close friends too.
Did you also notice that the temple is not involved in this? They're not talking.
They're nowhere near any of that.
Right.
And the chief priests are not involved or whatever.
They're in Cornelius's house.
Yeah. But the ones that are there, this great multitude of priests that were converted, that became God's kids. Hmm. Remember these 8,000, maybe now 25,000 people. And this is the house in Judea. They're in Judea. Mm-hmm. And the apostles and the brethren were in Judea. They were gathered together.
They weren't in Jerusalem, so they didn't go there.
Huh. They're in Judea. That's, I don't know about.
And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, they're in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
They're which is in Judea.
But it was the apostles and the brethren. It didn't say
it does
that.
Not say anything about the priests and the temple.
No, it does not have that mentioned.
Yeah, but they're in Jerusalem, they're in Judea, but it is not centered around the temple. You can see that now the center of life, and you'll see them go in and out of the temple, but it's not going to be the center. And it doesn't say exactly where they are, it just tells the town. But the priests are not involved, the naysayers are not involved. But
and information had gotten back to these guys that this had happened.
Yeah.
Somebody got a hold of it and made sure they heard that it happened.
So with the believers, it's settled now. The Gentiles are one, part and parcel with them. We're in chapter 11, how about 19 through 26?
Those therefore scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only to Jews. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who coming into Antioch spoke unto the Hellenists also, preaching the gospel about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number that believed turned unto the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who when he came and saw the grace of God was glad, and he exhorted all to cleave unto the purpose of their heart in the Lord, because he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a large crowd was added to the Lord. And he went forth to Tarsus to seek for Saul, and having found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass, both that even with for a whole year, they were gathered together in the church and taught a large crowd, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
The term Christian here, this is another thing in the Bible. Rapture is not in the scriptures. There is a term that is found, I think it's in the 30, 40, 50 times it's found in the Bible, but only a handful of time talks about being caught up. And it's the Greek word harpazo. And the Christian church has taken that and called it rapture. One big problem, the word harpazo, the word harpoon comes from that, our word, and so does rape. And it's not good in most cases, this word harpazo. I mean, if you're, it's not good if you're a whale. It's not good if you don't want to be the other thing. But they harpazoed them and took them to jail. In the majority of cases, you absolutely do not want to be harpazoed. In the cases where they are harpazoed and caught up, they always come back to earth. Like Philip was caught up and he found him in Azotos. In other words, it's just an ark. It's not you caught him and kept someplace securely. It was just a momentary up and down.
And that was in the story about the eunuch when he baptized him, and then the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and he was harpazoed over to this town.
We didn't talk about it there, but yes, we covered that. So is it free for me to talk about this?
Sure.
Thank you. Anyway, we keep each other in check. So anyway, this word harpazo is that. It is, if it does happen, it's like a harpoon. Boom, you're up, and boom, you're down. But most time, you don't want to be harpazo because you're going to jail or something bad is going to happen to you. Those others, it happened and they turned out good. So as to the majority, you got to be careful when you use some of these words. Now, Christian is another word that is really used wrongly. It's only found three times in the scriptures. And look at what it calls a Christian in 26. It's a disciple, not a son of God. It's a person that's a learner. That's all it means is a learner. And they were called Christians or disciples in Antioch, little Christs. They were,
and it makes
sense.
Learners. He was teaching a large crowd. And he was teaching them that they needed to repent. He was teaching them about those things.
It doesn't mean they're believers. It doesn't mean they're sons of God.
It was a large crowd. It wasn't like talking about individual talking like we've been doing before. Now this is a large crowd talk.
God never calls his kids Christians. He'd be like me calling my daughters little learners. Hi, little learner. Merry Christmas, little learner. I love you, little learner. What? That's really personal, isn't it? No, it's not. He calls us sons. So this is one of the three places that word Christian is used. See, now you really know what that word means. It has no indication whether you are one of God's kids and a true believer or not. It is strictly the fact that they are learners. And some learners never really do learn. Some pass, some don't pass the grade and go on to the next. So it's just all it means is learner. And also another interesting thing about this in verse 20, the Hellenists. This language, this Greek language is actually the Hellenist. It's not classical Greek. It's Hellenist Greek. It is so far the most pure language that we know on the face of the earth. This and the Hebrew and Aramaic of the Old Testament, they're both alphanumeric, and they are way more pure languages than English. And there's going to become a language soon in this next Makarios huge happiness event where the language on the earth is going to change to one, and the name of the Lord will be a new name, and it will have never been used, or it never will be used as a cuss word. It says that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember hearing that, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember where that is? I put people to the test around me because I can't remember where it is. It's someplace. It will not be used in vain again.
It'll be a pure speech.
Yeah, it'll be a pure speech, and he's going to be given a new name. I believe we'll run into this in this.
Mm.
So we're going to challenge ourselves. One of you, when you find it, please, if you could look for it, let's bring this up again because it's very interesting because right now there's going to come a time when his name, it'll be impossible. It will not be used in a wrong sense again. That's a huge event.
Mm-hmm.
And all the languages will be one and we'll all understand each other clearly. I think we'll even communicate with animals better. I believe so. Yeah. I think something's going to happen. What?
Well, it says their relationship changes, like the lion will eat straw and lay down. It definitely changes.
There's something really different that is going to happen in the next Makarios event. And it's going to affect the earth. The earth is going to be changed to a degree. As a matter of fact, I won't tell you anymore. The earth is going to be the top topography of the earth. Mount Everest will no longer be the highest mountain. You wait till you see this. I'm going to just give you enough to make you so excited to go to the next one because it's coming up. It's coming up. And the earth is going to actually be regraded. It'll change. And the languages on the earth, instead of 8,500, languages, we keep adding new languages every year. You got computer language, you got, a language like they started in New Orleans, Cajun. That happened in one generation with a bunch of teenagers was Cajun. Should we do the next context? We're in verse 27 through 30. This is the last of Acts chapter 11.
Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, Agabus by name, stood up and signified by the Spirit that a great famine would be over all the inhabited earth, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every one of them, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it unto the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
Do you remember what they did back at the very beginning? They were only healed. We have a new spirit, and we don't have a new flesh yet. We don't have a new mind, but our spirit was healed because God sent forth the Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. But they decided, hey, the good thing to do is let's live like a commune. We'll all sell our land. And it killed, two people got killed because of it. And Ananias and Sapphira, right? They lost their lives. And we see that they weren't, it caused problems because they're always sending relief. There's a great famine and they're always sending relief to Judea. And you'll see it later on in Paul's epistles where he reminds them to send relief. And it is because they gave them spiritual things. And I think it was actually for a purpose. Why not that they were to receive physical things? Out of Israel came the spiritual, and so they sent back physical help to help them. And it was like not a repayment, but a family type thing where you receive sometimes and you give sometimes, but it caused, this communal living caused a problem.
So you're saying that it caused a weakness in them.
It showed a weakness.
Yeah. That didn't get fixed and they still had to support it.
We're not ready for communal living.
No, that's what I mean, but yeah. It was a weakness to them.
Yeah, it shows that we're just not ready for it. In this partly healed condition, we still have our flesh. We still have our mind that's being saved. By Jesus' death, our spirit was saved. By the blood, our mind is, our soul is now being saved. And through the resurrection, we will get a brand new body. So you can see only part of it. The first part is done. We're still under the soul, our souls being saved, and our flesh, certainly we don't have that new flesh yet. We're not been resurrected. So this, here, that pops up again. They all had all things in common, and right away there's problems. I mean, really, immediately, death as a result, and communal living just doesn't work. Even religions are started that way. There's some, you know, and David Koresh. How did that work?
Not so well. Is that Waco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You say Waco?
Yeah. I almost said that. It's a neat town to go visit because of Chip and Joanne's, their little thing there. But it was crazy.
Well, I was going to say that that was focused on things on this earth, but in Colossians 3, it says the opposite, to set your mind on the things above. So,
looks like we've come to an end again, and thank you for joining us. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.